The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on September 13, 1986 in Sridhar Mayapur, India. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 29, Text 61.
Question was asked to Narada that he asked, well, how is it possible that we are suffering and enjoying the actions of our, in this body, of a previous body, or that body is already dead, so how is there a connection between one body and the next? So in answer to that, this explained that that body is finished, but the subtle mind continues. It's the connection to the subtle mind, or the subtle body, which is actually giving us the suffering and enjoyment. After the gross body is lost, the subtle body continues. Today in this verse we understand that the subtle body is the most important. Real liberation means to be liberated from the mind, intelligence, and false ego. When the mind is controlled, the Bhagavad Gita says, the mind is our best friend, when the uncontrolled mind is our worst enemy. Actually, this physical control of the body is very superficial. Someone may be performing devotional service, sweeping the floor, doing service in a humble way, superficially. But if their mind is always thinking about sense gratification, thinking about material relations, thinking about so many material things, then actually they're not purifying their consciousness. Therefore, while we do all of our service, whether it's cooking or whatever we may be doing, we should chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This chanting process is the most effective means for awakening our Krishna consciousness. So the whole purpose is to purify the mind. So someone may ask, how is it big devotees who are doing so much physical service for Krishna, how is it that they fall down? The answer is that they obviously have been surrendering on the physical platform, but not on the mental platform. It is the most important to surrender in the mental platform. Of course, if we are so-called surrendered on the mental platform, but physically we're engaging in illicit activities, that is also bogus. How can you be surrendered on the physical, on the mental platform if you are habitually breaking regular principles in a willing and knowing manner? Obviously, when one is surrendered on the more subtle platform, the gross platform automatically follows. Very hard to see if someone is physically performing everything, whether on a subtle platform they are also performing. Only Krishna can know that. But in due course of time, if they are not surrendering their mind, then they also fall down. So this is the thing, we have to not simply be satisfied with being only strict in our superficial sadhana. We have to cleanse the mind and purify it from all kind of envy, hatred, and such material emotions which are not dovetailed in Krishna consciousness. We have to purify the mind from material desires and material thoughts and engage the mind in pure Krishna consciousness. In this way the mind can become purified, and then we've actually won the battle. Until we're liberated from the mind, our journey back to home, back to Godhead, is not finished. Or until we have completely purified the mind to make it satchit ananda. You see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was very merciful. He knew all these situations, that for the conditioned soul, in Kali Yuga it's very difficult to practice a lot of physical austerities. So he went right to the root. giving a very simple process of devotional service where there's actually no excessive discomfort or pain, simple living, high thinking. But this high thinking is the most important. We have to elevate the mind. Unless we elevate the mind, we again have to take birth in the material world. If we actually have the high thinking means to think about Krishna, to think about Krishna's devotees and his teachings. Thus, our consciousness is really high, and then we can go back to home, back to Godhead. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so merciful that he engaged everyone in the Sankirtan process, no matter who they were, no matter what was their background. In fact, he sent his followers door to door to awaken them, to ask them to take up this chanting process to purify their consciousness. Just like there was one time in Shiva's Angam, Shiva invited one Brahmachari to come. And the one Brahmachari asked Srivas if he could see the Sankirtan of Lord Chaitanya. So then Srivas agreed, and this Brahmachari, he hid in the house of Srivas and he was watching the Sankirtan. When Lord Chaitanya came and started the Kirtan, he stopped the Kirtan and he said, "I am not feeling any ecstasy. I am not feeling any ecstasy at all. What is that? Who is responsible?" So all of the devotees, they look to each other, who is responsible? Mostly looking to themselves. They feel very ashamed, thinking maybe they were the cause of some offense. So then, Lord Chaitanya, he said, "Who is responsible?" Then Srivas, he remembered once before his sasuri, she'd hid under a basket and that was a disturbance to Lord Chaitanya. So then he said, "Well, Lord Chaitanya, there's one Brahmachari here. He's very strict. He only eats leaves from the forest. He doesn't eat anything else. Only eats leaves. He's very strict." So then Lord Chaitanya said, "Where is that Brahmachari?" They brought it out. And Lord Chaitanya started to chastise him. "You are not qualified to be here in this Sankirtan. What do you think, simply by doing dry austerity that you can reach Krishna? By torturing your body? That you are not qualified to be here in this Kirtan. This is only for devotees, those who have given their mind, their soul, their everything to the service of Krishna, not for those who are simply doing dry austerity and a superficial platform. Get out! You are not qualified to be here." And he was taken out and forcibly thrown out the door. So then, the kirtan started, and then everyone was feeling great ecstasy without that dry, vairagi brahmachari inside that temple, prangam of Shiva. So that brahmachari outside, he was thinking that, "How unqualified I am. How unqualified I am. That actually, all my life I'm doing all this rasa. I've never surrendered to Krishna in my mind. I've never surrendered to Krishna. I'm thinking I'm very qualified, very great from all my austerities. Actually, I never surrendered to Krishna." He said, "But still, even though I'm totally unqualified, somehow I was so fortunate, even for a few minutes I could see the Sankirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." And then he started to cry, just feeling the how Lord Chaitanya was so merciful to allow him to come and see the Sankirtan, although he was so totally unqualified. Then suddenly inside, Lord Chaitanya stopped the Sankirtan and said, "You bring in that Brahmachari, now he's qualified to come in." The actual qualification to be in the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not the strict, not the very torturing the body with some kind of austerities in that sense, but to be very careful to do everything for the pleasure of Krishna, to purify not only the body, but to purify the mind. When the mind is purified, body will automatically be purified. Those so-called Vaishnavas who are eating fish and so many things, saying their mind is purified, how is it possible? If the mind is purified, their body will also be purified. This is very clear in this verse. When the mind is purified, the senses will also be purified. Not that, but even the Superficially, one may appear purified like that Brahmachari, but if he hasn't surrendered his mind, he is still not considered to be a liberated soul. He's not in Satchit Ananda Vigraha form yet. He is still conditioned. So we should work to become liberated from this subtle body. We should work to become totally surrendered to Krishna, not only physically, but mentally as well. Then we can go back to home, back to Godhead, not otherwise. Hare Krishna.